Our God and our Father, we're thankful that we could have this open meeting, this assembly meeting. We thank thee for those that thou mightst raise up to address our conscience. We know that each one of us have a need, each one of us have a concern. Each one of us need to be encouraged in the pathway. So we would ask our God and Father to raise up those who love thy people, who desire their best, might be led by the Spirit of God to address our conscience. So we ask this, Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rohab, and the men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shemshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the children of the land of children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And there is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went with them said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out of the giants. And we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And then while we're in this portion, we can come down to the verse 6 of the next chapter. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And then we come on down to verse 24 of this chapter. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him I will bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you in the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Just dwelling on the spirit of Caleb for just a second, we see here that there are 12 men that are sent up into the land to spy. And as they come back out, they see, they all bring report. And if you read in our chapter, in the 13th chapter there, we see that they all seem to agree in verse 27 that the land is a beautiful land. It is flowing with milk and honey. And they have evidence of it by holding a branch of grapes between two men. The thing was so huge that they're bringing out grapes that are that big. And they all agree, all 12 of them agree, the fact that this land is a beautiful land. 10 of them, though, bring up an objection. And the objection is that these the children of Anak at the end of verse 28. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. You could take the word moreover and put in the word but. But we saw the children of Anak there. They all agree on the fact that it's a beautiful land, but. And yet Caleb and Joshua stand up and persuade the people that God can help us to overtake the land. There was Joshua and Caleb and roughly 600,000 people standing there. If we didn't read it, you can read it in the following chapter here where they rise up and they want to stone him. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, and maybe a few others, are standing forth to go in. And the large part of the company wants to stone him. But Caleb, I just want to focus in on Caleb for just a second in light of what we've just been taking up. Caleb saw something there that his heart affectioned, that he wanted to go in and possess the land. And we find out in the following chapter there that all the rest of the men, everybody was to die off except for those that were 20 years and under. The rest were to die off. And so we find Caleb, as he turns out into the wilderness with all the company, he goes with his brethren and he finds out he and Joshua are going to be the only ones that are going to be the old men. And they have to be out there for 40 years. He saw something in that land he wanted bad, but he had to turn around and go out with his brethren and wait for it. Let's turn over to the book of Joshua. The story continues. I am so thankful this portion in Joshua 15 rounds out the story of what we see here. It's a beautiful type to see this story of Joshua and his family. The first 12 verses of Joshua 15 have to do with the division of Judah as they are going in the land. They're possessing the land. And it talks about all the boundaries. But then we have in verse 13 this few verses here. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it and gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass as she came unto him that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, what wouldst thou? He answered, give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Well, it's beautiful to see this portion here, because of the fact that 40 years before, when those 12 came out, the excuse was that the Anakins, the enemy, was so great they could not take it. That was the excuse. And so Caleb turned around and went out into the wilderness with his brethren. And I'm going to presume he had a family while I was out there, because I don't know, and I'd love to hear afterwards exactly maybe their ages. I'm going to assume that Caleb might have been 20 when he went in to spy the land. And now we know that it's at least 40 years later, so he's got to be somewhere maybe around 60 years old. And he's now one of the oldest guys. He is the oldest between him and Joshua. And he had to spend 40 years out there. He had a family, apparently. And while he was out there, he must have talked of something. He must have shared with his daughter the beauty that he saw in the land. Because we know at his age 60 or so, we know his endurance was such that he went in and he took care of the enemy that was the excuse. We see it's Hebron, right? We see the city is Hebron. This is the city of Anak, where they have the Anakins. You got the three Anakins there in verse 14. The very excuse that the other 10 had, Caleb went in to take care of that excuse after meditating upon that, enjoying that for 40 years. He wanted a piece of land and he was going to take it. God's land that was given to him. But what's compelling about this too is that apparently whatever he had, whatever influence he had upon his children, his daughter says, "You've given me this, but I want this too. I want more." And his nephew says, you know, nephew takes him up on the challenge. He gets a daughter because he got a piece of land. There was an influence, I'm going to presume, there was an influence upon Caleb, upon his children, while he was out in the wilderness, while he had to go out with his brethren, despite what he wanted to do, there was an influence upon his children. There was something to enjoy in the land. And his daughter, Aksa, did not see that land, but she heard about the land. It's beautiful. She heard about the beauty of that land. And we've already taken it up in the meeting where the Old Testament saints were to get the land. They were to enjoy the physical. You and I are to enjoy the spiritual. We have a risen head in glory. We're to enjoy that. I think the principle can apply. Maybe you've been in a meeting like this and you've got to taste of the glory in Ephesians 1 and the Lord Jesus. But eventually we leave. We go back to daily life. If ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. How does that apply when we leave? I'd like to go back to, let's just turn back to that Colossians 3 and read a few more verses that follow that verse. Let's read the first four verses. If ye then been risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I enjoy Paul's writings because he speaks. I had a class in college called Symbolic Logic. And he speaks in these terms, particularly here, and you'll find it in Romans, where we have if then, if then, if then. You always get the matter, the fact after the if. And it's beautiful because if you're risen with Christ, seek those things who are above. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. And so we have Caleb looking forward to that thing. He says, God promises us, and he influenced his children. His children get in the land, they say, we want more of it. And not only that, they saw their father clear out the Anakins as well. There is things that are fighting for attention when we get back out in the world. There are things that fight for attention more than ever that is going to disrupt what you and I can enjoy for risen Christ. I've said it before. I used to work in technology many years ago, and we got to see the advent of smartphones before smartphones were happening. And we were seeing this. We were seeing this, all this take place, and now we have instant information at our fingertips. How can we use that to help me see Christ, which is above? Well, I will share with you a brother that lives up the valley from where we live. He's a dentist. He shared with me an interesting news. I share this with young people and older ones that use technology. We all do, some of us. I'll share with this because I think that the technology can help us seek things above. Let me share with you. He was asking about, it happened to be my son-in-law. He says, what's his name? And I gave him his name and he put it in his calendar. He says, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for him because his son-in-law works for the same police department. And I think that's very nice because everybody says, I'll pray for you. And that's just kind of a statement. No, he's serious. He was putting a note in his calendar that he was going to pray for my son-in-law, his son-in-law, etc. He had alarms going off. I could see on his phone. He had alarms going off that he was going to lift these ones up before the Lord. Can I go? Can I be through the day? Can I be out working in the garden? Can I seek things above? No, my mind is preoccupied. Can I have an alarm go off? Yes. What if a mother is crying with a baby? How can you seek things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God? How can that happen? How can that happen when I'm in the office and a business deal's going down or whatever it is? How can I seek those things which are above? Yeah, these little reminders can happen. Caleb found it that he was out in that wilderness, and I'm going to put it out there, he impacted his children, his next of kin around the campfire. That was a precious thing to have, and when I get there, I'm going to claim it for what God has given me. And you and I have the exact same thing waiting for us. We've already been taking it up. Am I caught up with the redemptive nature of the Lord Jesus? Am I caught up with the fact, think about this, that he's thinking about me right now? And he's thinking about you. Have you thought about that? That's striking to think. He has the ability. He's God. He can think about me all day long, even though I may not think about him. When he was on the cross, did he not do his work thinking about you? So, Colossians 3, if ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which were above. And that's our position. We are the position. Caleb had his position as a child of Israel, a son of Judah, if you will. He had his portion waiting for him, and he meditated upon that while he was in the wilderness. And he impacted his children, to which his children then wanted to have more. I so enjoy that. So I hope that can be of an encouragement to those that are in their teenage years or 20s, because Caleb was right about that when he went in and surveyed the land. Maybe that's an encouragement for other teenagers and such, because you're hearing these things for the first time. Or maybe you've heard it again and it's settling in. Ephesians 1, Colossians 3, other portions are settling in. What is in Christ in glory right now? Because I can rest assured of this. Is there is a large percentage of dear believers that don't take up with this. They don't enjoy the fact that our position is in Christ. Because if that is the case, then we wouldn't be so wound up about things that are happening on this earth right now, even on the political scene. If we're seeing Christ in glory, he's over all. He's going to take care of it. He's thinking about me right now. One more time. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Blessed be his name.